Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning at Barbie's Grove. I see we've got several that taking advantage of a long weekend, and I pray that they're blessed and that wherever they are today, they're worshiping the Lord and they're seeking His face and feeling His presence. But we're glad that you're here. If you have prayer requests, put them on the little tear-off strip and drop them in the offering plate so that we might have a record of your prayers and prayer requests and be able to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every person that's here today. Father, we know that some are off ministering in other places. Some are off spending time with family. But Father, we know that no matter where we might be, the Holy Spirit is there. So Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would be with each person, meeting each need, speaking to each heart. And Lord, you're so welcome in this place today. We don't want to have church without you. Thank you for being here. God, our singing, our praying, our praise, our study of your word. May we have ears to hear, hearts to obey, and willing hands and willing feet to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please just sit quietly for a moment. There's a special Memorial Day video we're hoping for, right, Jeff? Some technical equipment problems this morning, but I think we're getting there. We wanted to start our service with that, and then I will ask Andon to come up, and we're going to do our pledge before our first opening hymn. So just sit quietly, and we're ready for the video.
Heroes of our nation's finest. To remember is to honor the ultimate sacrifice that millions have paid so that future generations might be free. Remembrance imparts dignity to the sacrifices made and the ones who made them. Remembrance defines purpose for why so many fought and so many died. Remembrance reflects our values, from the ideals that guide us to the gratitude that humbles us. Remembrance creates a legacy for the men and women who've died and the inalienable God-given rights their sacrifices preserved. From revolution to preservation, in times of uncertainty and clarity, when our nation calls, the brave responded. The courageous fought. And some gave it all. For our safety. For our rights. For our civilization. For our freedom. is why we remember.
And amen. God bless America. Come on up, Andon. Let's all stand together, please, before we sing. And we're going to do our pledge to the American flag. And Andon's going to hold it for us. So proudly. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And sing America the Beautiful.
Beautiful for space. Good morning, everyone. Let's go over our announcements, if we may. There's been a correction where it says no evening services. There will be from 5 to 7 in this afternoon youth meeting. And then also at 5, there'll be adult prayer time. And at 5:30, there'll be church training, which the adult prayer and church training will be taking place upstairs. And as usual, on Wednesday night, we have our 6:30 adult Bible study. We invite everyone to continue to be there. Next Sunday will be Graduate Sunday. And if there's anyone that we need to add on that list, other than the one I'm looking at right now, make sure you let Brenda or Kathy Hyde know about this. There's been a generous donation made in memory of Scott Davis by Reed and Angela Love, you see there in your bulletin. And then save the date for Bible school. Do you have anything you'd like to add other than what's shown there? How's the sign-ups coming?
We could use a few more helpers if anybody's willing to help, but we do have some people that have already signed up. We did put the dates and the times. Kickoff will be Friday the 20th. Dinner, games, activities, and then Saturday will be breakfast and lunch. And just bring all your friends.
Thank you for volunteering and for all you're doing. Are there any other announcements not shown in the bulletin that we need to bring up at this time?
Yes.
Yes, Jeff.
Church work day. I did not get this. June the 14th, and you know, I say this all the time, many hands make for quick work, so we need volunteers. If you will, the Guild of Grail members is Tonga, Tamara, Chris Whitley, Wes, and myself. Get with us, but plan to be here that Saturday from 8 a.m. to whenever. We don't expect it to take just maybe 3 hours, but there's lots of little things that needs to be done. So please plan to be there. And okay. Liberty's going to take something for breakfast.
Of course.
There you go.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for being on top of that. Thank you, Building and Grounds Committee, for the work we see you doing. It shows, and we appreciate that. And if you see anything that needs doing, let them know.
Yes.
That's what they're there for. So thank you again, Jeff. Thank the whole committee. Any other announcements that need to be brought to our attention? If not, I'd like to, in honor of Memorial Day, I'd like to read this list that you have in your bulletin, as we do each Memorial Day, for those that have served and those that have gone on. And I'll start out by reading these names to you and the branch in which they served, beginning with Paul Barbie, World War I, Ernest Burse, United States Army, Hugh Balcom, World War II, Alan Davis, United States Marines, Floyd L. Udy, United States Army, Harvey Lee Udy, United States Army, Artis Hatley, United States Navy, Vernon Hatley, United States Army, William L. Jackman Jr., United States Marines, Charlie McCluster, United States Army, Clayton Ted Morgan, United States Army, Jimmy Morton, United States Army, Gurney O. Smith, United States Navy, Paul L. Thompson, United States Army, John C. Chuck Walker, United States Navy, Don E. Whitley, United States Army, Lloyd A. Whitley, United States Army, and Houston A. Yao, United States Army. The last Monday of May, the beginning of summer, better known as Memorial Day, a U.S. federal holiday to honor and to mourn U.S. military who have died while serving in U.S. armed forces. It's a time to reflect the sacrifice of those who died. It's fallen soldiers, regardless of whether they died in combat or during peacetime. Memorial Day began as a way to remember those who had died in the Civil War. And then 5 years later, 3 years later, on May the 30th, 1868, Declaration Day was proclaimed by Commander-in-Chief John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic to honor Union soldiers. And this began in Waterloo, New York. And it was declared the birthplace as Memorial Day by President Lyndon B. Johnson in 1966, and it wasn't not until 5 years later that Congress passed it, become Memorial Day as it's shown there in your bulletin. With that being said, not only to remember those, but let's now remember those that are current on our prayer list. Do you have any prayer needs this morning that we can go over? Updates.
We can take Kay Hopkins off.
Kay Hopkins?
Yes.
Okay.
We can also take Nara Hill off. She is doing much better. Still has a way to go. Continue praying.
Thank you. I know Kenny Linker is scheduled for surgery on Tuesday at 12:30. So we will be remembering and praying for you, Kenny. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Carol? Chris Helms? Yes, Robert.
Prayers for all the graduates that have to decide what their next step in life is.
Okay. Get a job, right, Robert?
Right.
Say get a job. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Kenny. Yes, I was going there. Is anything anyone else before we do that? If not, if you're in the congregation and you're a veteran, would you please stand? I'm going to ask you to remain standing because I want to pray for you. And if there's any no other needs, I'll ask you all to bow your heads at this time. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the people that are in this room here together today, Father. They have gathered not only to remember Memorial Day, but to come and worship, Father. Remembering that those that have been listening on our prayer list for quite some time, now we want to thank you for what we hear on Myra Hill and Kay Hopkins. We give you the praise for that, Lord. We want to lift up at this time, Father, the graduates. May you be with them. May you continue to not only help them, but help us to be an encouragement, Father. Those that graduated a long time ago, to be the examples that they need in their lives, Father. Give them the wisdom and the courage to step forward to the next step. We ask prayers now for Chris Helms, Father, whatever their needs may be there. And also, we want to remember those upcoming with medical needs, including Kenny Linker and the surgery that would take place. Be with him, Father. Give him comfort. Give him peace. And be with those who will be taken care of him, Father. Give them knowledge and skills that they require. Father, we thank you for this great country in which we live. And for these two that are standing now as we pray, Father, we thank you for their service. For Reverend Jim and for Robert, we thank you, Father, that they made a decision to serve and that they made a home safely, Father. We praise you for that. Heavenly Father, may we always remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice in war and peace. For it's the last full measurement of devotion for those that didn't make it home. By remembering and honoring those, we keep them alive, Lord. And just as you live in our hearts and souls today, Lord, we honor the most ultimate sacrifice you made for each of us with your love and grace. As we, as Christians, fight and struggle, we know you are our strength, Lord, our protection, our armor, our only way to make it home, to be with you forever, Father. And we thank you, Jesus, for your love and sacrifice. We honor and worship you today and evermore. And all God's people say, amen.
So for our praise song this morning, I invite everyone to stand with me for our first verse of our Star Spangled Banner to conclude our music service, and Pastor Louder will come forward.
Thank you, Lionel and Tonda, for leading us today. Children's Church. Now today we're going to continue our look at the characteristics of the New Testament church. And what we have to say today is just as important as any of the others. Now about 30 years or so ago, all of a sudden on the news, whether it's the TV news of newspapers or magazines, we began to see a lot of reports about Catholic priests molesting young boys that were in their care, whether in school or in their churches. And it just, like, you know, some of it had been covered up for decades. Lawsuits were being filed. And unfortunately, a lot of Baptists had a lousy attitude. Ha ha, what do you expect? And they did a lot of finger pointing. Well, about 10 years ago, we suddenly found out we Baptists weren't immune. The very same thing was going on in Baptist churches that had been going on in the Catholic Church. Abuse, sexual molestation, and cover-ups. One time, the Southern Baptist Convention several years ago published a list of people that had been accused as pastors, youth pastors, of such activities. Last week, I was talking with a dear friend of mine in another county. And she said that in a neighboring county to hers, one of the most prominent North Carolina Baptist churches had just called a pastor from another state. Right after he got there, he was arrested, tried, and convicted, not of molestation, but of covering it up in his previous church in another state. Now, we should not be surprised of sin in the life of the church. Jesus told a parable of a farmer who goes out and he sows good, pure seed in his field. And an enemy comes along and tries to destroy the harvest by sowing weeds. The Bible, King James word, tares in the field so that you have the good grain and the weeds in the same field. Well, this morning I want us, as we look at the characteristics of the New Testament church, what about sin? What about sin in the life of the church? How did they deal with it? Now, you've heard the expression, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus had a unique ability to make kids feel loved. They flocked to Jesus. And you know, kids, they know who the good people are. You find somebody that all the kids don't want to spend some time with, you better watch out for them. I remember, you know, for 20-something years before she went back to school and got her degree, Pamela was a teacher assistant. And in one of the classes where she was the assistant for several years, and I forget whether it was kindergarten or first grade, the kids had a little towel that, and after lunch they laid down and took a little nap. Pamela's desk was, I don't know which was like over here where Gary's sitting. Teacher's desk was over here in this corner. When it came nap time, all the kids got just as close to Pamela's desk as they could get and as far from the teacher's desk as they could get. Because she didn't mind a thing about slamming a kid up against the wall, twisting the kid's arm till it left a bruise. And they all felt safe with Pam, but they sure were scared of that teacher. They didn't know what would happen to them when they closed their eyes. So you see, Jesus had that ability to make kids and sinners feel welcome. And at the same time, Jesus did not condone sin. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. And we'll see that the very first message Jesus preached, as far as Mark's gospel says. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. First message, repent, turn away from your sin. Don't have anything to do with sin. Believe the good news of the kingdom of God, but you began by turning away from your sin. Now let's go over to the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. Jesus encounters the woman at the well in Samaria. And after they talk a little bit, in verse 16, Jesus says, go call your husband and come here. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidst that thou truly. Jesus called her out for her sin. He didn't pretend that it didn't matter. He's dealing with her soul. He's dealing with her in eternal life. And he says, we're going to deal with your sin. We're going to deal with your sin. Then when you look at... We're going to flip on over in John chapter 5. And this is Jesus and the man who's been at the pool 38 years waiting for the waters to be troubled so that he could get in, and he can't get in and be healed. Somebody always beats him in there. And so Jesus in verse 8, chapter 5 says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man gets healed. But then look at verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth the man in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. He says, Jesus goes to the man and says, okay, somehow another sin puts you in that condition for 38 years. Change your way of living. Change your way of living. Then go over to John 8. And this is where Jesus is out, and the scribes and Pharisees bring to him the woman that had taken in the very act of adultery. They want Jesus to say, stone her. Jesus says, no, for the one without sin, throw the first stone. And everybody goes off. And then verse 10. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Go change your lifestyle. Go change your lifestyle. You see, Jesus was very loving and very kind to these folks with a sinful lifestyle. But he gave the instruction, don't do it anymore. Change your way. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 23. And I won't read all of this. But one thing Jesus really, really had trouble with was hypocrites. And I'm just going to read a few verses. Matthew 23, verse 13. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them, and are entering in." Verse 14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Verse 16, "Woe unto you, scribes, you blind guides." Verse 17, "You fools and blind." Verse 19, "You fools and blind." Verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Verse 29, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." And you can go back and read all of that for yourself this afternoon, but Jesus is saying, listen, you need to do what the Bible says, the Word of God says. You need to do what you teach. Don't be a hypocrite about it. Don't be a hypocrite about it. And so you see, Jesus had this attitude that welcomed the children, that ministered in love to those who were sinful, but yet told them not to do it again. But then he was very stern with those who were living in hypocrisy. Now, what about the New Testament church? How did they deal with sin? Go to Acts 5. Now, when you go back to Acts 4, you find that Barnabas sold some land, gave it to the church, and evidently, you know, they patted him on the back or something. So in chapter 5, it says, "A certain man, Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being private or in on it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." Notice, it was theirs to do with as they pleased. They sold it. They came and gave part of it, but with the impression, we're giving it all. And in verse 3, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? While it was remain, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in the heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. And then a little bit later, his wife comes in. Peter says, "Did you sell the land for X number of dollars?" And she says, "Yep." He says, "Well, the guys that just buried your husband are coming in the door." And she drops dead. Aren't you sort of glad that doesn't happen these days real often? I mean, if every church member that had lied to me had dropped dead the next minute, I don't know. I wouldn't have had some nearly as many on the rolls. And I don't know, I probably did it myself a time or two, so I might have dropped dead before the church members. The church was seeking holiness. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul writes to the church and he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one of you should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So you see, they had a man in the church that was living with his stepmother in some kind of adulterous relationship. And Paul says, you church folks, you're just tolerating it. You need to stop tolerating it and deal with it. And in verse 5, he says, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorying is not good. Know ye that not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as your unleavened. Or he says, church, you need to deal with this overt sin. He said, even the heathen don't do this. He says, church, deal with it. Now, when you go on in chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, I won't start reading there. Verse 11. But now I've written unto you not to keep company in any man that is called a brother, who is a fornicator, a covetous, an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, and such a one know not to eat. In other words, he says, be careful about your companions. If you want to be a godly Christian, don't hang out with the ungodly. That doesn't mean you don't witness to them. That doesn't mean you don't try to get them to change their lifestyle. But that's the way it is. Now go to chapter 6. And remember, this is God's word, not Ed Louder's. Chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor drunkards, nor covetous, nor thieves, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, here's a group of people not going to heaven. And the whole homosexual crowd's there, if you understand what the words effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind and all of that. He said, these folks aren't going to be in heaven. I don't care what the church votes. God says, if they don't change their lifestyle, they're not going to go to heaven. That's God's word, not mine. Now, here's the good news. Jesus and the New Testament church dealt with sin. They dealt with sin. Because they knew that sin is life destroying, church destroying. You remember in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, where they talk about the letters to the seven churches? And as Jesus points out the sin in several churches, he says, if you don't repent, I'm going to go and pull at your lampstand. I'm going to take my light, my glory out of your church. And again, another friend that I've known since I was 15 called this last week about her church and another county. And as she described it, I thought, okay, here's your problem. I believe she's really a Christian. You know, the little candles that sometimes we use for candlelight service at Christmas or at New Year's. I believe that when she comes to church, her little candle's lit.
and that there's some other saved people in that church and their little candles lit. But I believe Jesus has gone to the breaker box and pulled the breaker box and all the lights are gone. And so there's just a little bit of light in that church. But the presence of Jesus is no longer there because of the sin that she told me that was in her church. And God is not going to bless it. God's not going to bless it. Because Jesus and the church recognize how terrible it is. But they give us hope. Now go right back to 1 Corinthians 6. And we just had this long list of people that the Bible says aren't going to go to heaven. But look at verse 11, and there's such hope in verse 11. And such were some of you. Past tense. Now, I don't know whether the people he was writing to were adulterers or homosexual or thieves or drunkards. I don't know. Maybe some of all of it. But Paul, in past tense, says, you were this kind of person. But now you're washed, you're sanctified or made holy, you're justified, you're right with God in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord that it doesn't matter what our background is, the power of God can come in and change our lives and make us different. It's not where we were, it's where we can be. It's what God can do. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Paul says if God can save me, he can save anybody. Praise the Lord for the good news. That's why we call the gospel the good news, is it doesn't matter where we start. It matters what God does to change us if we submit to him. Now, the good news is, and we won't look there, but if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I won't try to read any of it, but they restored the brother that they had just kicked out because he was living in immorality. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, maybe I need to read a verse or two there. Verse 4. Let's read verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him, comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would conform your love toward him. Verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. Evidently, when the church called the man on the carpet, dealt with him, he repented. And because he repented, Paul says, forgive him. Welcome him back. Just like you would a lost person that walked down the aisle, welcome him back and love him. And then when you think about Jesus, I've already mentioned this, the woman at the well left feeling loved. The man at the pool left feeling loved. The woman taken in adultery left feeling loved. Every one of them left feeling loved from Jesus. Now that's the good news. That's the good news. John wrote in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. New Testament church took sin seriously, because they know how it destroys individuals, families, churches. We need to do the same thing in our personal lives. If the Holy Spirit shows us sin, we need to deal with it. If we should happen to come upon sin in the church, we should deal with it. Never take the attitude, well, good old God understands if a little of this is going on and that's going on and preachers running around with the deacon's wife and all that, it's no big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Sin put Jesus on the cross. And the church, if we're going to be a New Testament church, every church needs to deal with sin. New Testament says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Live in their righteousness. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and follow, be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. He says, start with my holiness, and you emulate me. You be like me, you live in holiness. This isn't an easy message to preach, because who knows? Who knows what's going on? Who knows what's going on? First time I remember preaching on the woman taken in adultery, we had a man and his wife show up that lived in the community and had relatives in our church, but they didn't attend. So I was just shocked to see him sitting back over there. And he sang in a quartet. They weren't as famous as Leonard's group, but they sang around in various churches. They said he beat his wife's ribs sore. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Found out a couple of weeks later he was running around with his piano player. And I'm preaching on adultery. You know, he was guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. May we strive to live holy lives, because the world's looking at us. The world's looking at us. The world's reading the newspapers. The world's listening to the TV reports. The world's listening to what's being whispered at work. How much better it is, they're whispering on the glories of God, the life-changing power of God, than if they're whispering the latest scandal, the latest immorality. I challenge you, as Peter did his readers, be ye holy, for our Lord is holy. As we come to an invitation time, if there's a person that needs to accept Christ, a person that needs to come to the altar and pray, or any other reason you need to come, would you come?
Amazing grace, if you'll stand with me, please.
Amazing grace.
also Will wants to move his letter back here to Barbie's Grove. Is there a motion that we receive him that way? And all in favor with an uplifted hand. All right, and you come by and welcome him back into the church fellowship as he becomes one of us again.
Yes.
Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.